Alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Stefan Molyneux from Free Domain, freedomain.com/donate. Your help is most gratefully, deeply, and humbly appreciated. Thank you for your support. As we cruise into, boy, it's coming up for 20 years, not all too long away. It's less than a year until 20 years. It's just wild, man. 2005, I published my first article on LouRockwell.com, The Stateless Society, An Examination of Alternatives. And that was my entree, my debutante ball into the testicular manslaughter of social discussions of morals. Anyway, so got a message. A listener asked me, he said, I need a show on how not to become angry. How not to become angry. It's a great question. Anger is a very, very interesting topic as a whole. Now, I've got a show which I did in the past called The Joy of Anger, which you should check out, fdrpodcast.com. But let's talk about anger as a whole. So the first thing to understand is that anger is hierarchical and directed. Anger is hierarchical and directed. And if this doesn't help you understand what COVID is all about, I don't know what will. So when I say anger is hierarchical, I want you to, of course, think about when you were a kid in school, the teacher could get angry with you, right? But you could not get equally angry at the teacher. The teacher could snap at you, and that was discipline. You snapping at the teacher was rude, and you got in trouble. I mean, I don't know if anyone gets in trouble in school these days, but back in the day, you used to get in trouble. So anger is hierarchical. Your parents can get angry at you, and that's just and fair discipline that's caused by your bad behavior, if they're dysfunctional parents, right? But you cannot get angry at your parents. That's being disrespectful. It's having attitude that needs to be adjusted, right? So their anger is good, right, moral, just, healthy, and virtuous. Your anger is disrespectful, bratty, whiny, complaining, negative attitude, and needs to be fixed. I hope I'm not spoiling any or shocking you with any giant spoilers, but anger is hierarchical. And so not getting angry is a mark of subjugation. The slave cannot be angry with the master, or at least cannot express that anger. The master can be as angry as he wants at the slave, right? I think we understand all of this, right? Nothing too shocking about any of this. So if you say, Steph, you got to teach me how to not be angry, what you're asking for is to be taught how to be a slave, how to be subjugated. It's also, of course, hypocrisy. Moral hypocrisy in particular is hierarchical. I mean, I remember when I worked in Thunder Bay, I deposited one of my paychecks and the bank lost it. So I had to go, and it took a while, and I had to go and find my deposit slip and go back and so on, and I demanded $100. Because I said, look, if I write, this took me quite some time to solve, and if I do things that cost you money, you charge me, right? Like if I write a bad check or, you know, things that cost you time and money, you charge me all the time. Now, you made a mistake. I have the deposit slip. You lost the deposit. So now you owe me money. I can't remember if it's $50 or $100 or something like that, but I had to spend quite a bit of time rooting around to try and find the deposit slip. And then, you know, I had to identify it. I had to go in and talk to them. They had to say, we need your deposit slip. I had to go back. I had to find this. So it took me a couple of hours. And I said, if I did something that cost the bank a couple of hours, you'd hit me with service charges up the wazoo. And I passed along a list. I said, here's a list of all of your service charges for all the things that I can do that cost you time and therefore money. And now you've made a mistake that has cost me time and therefore money. And so let's be reasonable here, right? And I had to take it all the way up to the, I think it was the branch, like it wasn't just this branch manager, it was the regional manager. And they wouldn't give me my money back. So I closed down my entire account. And I said, I'm never doing business with your organization ever again. And I never did, even in the business world. And let's just say that probably over the years, they've missed out on more than $50. But that was just, because then it's just a power thing, right? Then it's like, it's not a principle that if you cost someone time and money, that you owe them time, you owe them money. But that's their principle with me. But if that's not my principle with them, then it's an exploitative relationship. So, and what was I, 20, 19, 20, something like that. But yeah, I guess I've always been into reciprocity and all of that. So when it comes to anger, if you say, I need to find a way to not become angry, then you are ripping out the heart of your moral, intellectual, mental health, and sanity defense system. Because you need anger to know when you are being exploited or violated. You need frustration, which is a component of anger. You need frustration to know when it might be worth walking away from a task, right? It might be worth walking away from a task. Persistence in the face of all obstacles is not healthy. It's not right. Because that in which you're most successful in life is probably going to come the easiest and the most pleasurable. The stuff that has really worked for me in life, you know, programming, public speaking, reasoning, this sort of spontaneous speaking and so on. This is all stuff I did for years and years and years for free, sometimes decades before I ever got paid for it. And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. It's not, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like a sport. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's not that much fun, but for the most part, it's very enjoyable. I miss it when I don't do it and I'm happy to do it. So if you're dealing with someone who is just not going to change, then frustration is your sign to find an alternate way of dealing with the situation. So when I was talking to the bank teller and I wanted the $50 or $100 and she said no, I said I want to talk to the manager and then to the branch manager. And then I kind of gave up because then I was like, okay, this is an organization that is cheap and chiselly and rips off people with one-sided approaches to business and value. So frustration is an important emotion because it can signal to you that you are not going to be able to get your needs met in a situation. I mean, one of the reasons I found it quite frustrating to learn other languages. Now, I did have to learn to translate French for my master's degree, and I knew that that was not a thing that I was particularly great at. I'm not too bad at accents, or the accent, but I'm not particularly good. And that's because my facility with English is so high that when I think about the amount of effort it would take for me to become proficient, like, there's no point becoming like restaurant French or, you know, whatever, like, je voudrais un croissant pour le deux, you know, like, this is not where I want to be. So knowing how good I am at English, when I look at another language and I say, how long is it going to take me? Well, 10,000 hours. Well, 10,000 hours is 5,000 philosophy shows. Would I rather be good at French or have 5,000 philosophy shows? Or to put it another way, is the world better off if I learn French, or is the world better off if I do 5,000 philosophy shows? Well, I know the answer to that. There's lots of people who speak French, but not a lot of people who could do really good philosophy in a generally consumable fashion. So I looked at that. I didn't even feel, I felt frustration at my resistance to learning another language, but I had to do it for my degree. But I felt a sort of weariness, kind of a despair, and oh God, forget it, right? Oh, forget it, right? Whereas learning another computer language can often be fun because they follow the same structure. I mean, I know that human language does as well, but it's a lot of memorization with human language. So it's not, should you get angry, should you not get angry? It's, what is the purpose of anger? And how can anger be effective at making your life better? Now, of course, since anger is about asserting your preferences in the face of resistance, anger, like almost by definition, anger is inconvenient or negative to exploiters, right? Which is why, I mean, can you imagine, like, the teacher says you can't use violence to get what you want, and you say, but your entire paycheck is funded by coercive taxation. This entire system, the whole school, everything's built, everything's run on coercive taxation. who on earth are you to say, don't use aggression to get what you want, right? Well, I mean, that would be absolutely unacceptable, right? So people who want to exploit you don't want you to get angry. Of course, right? Of course. So anger is inconvenient to exploiters. Rage is win-lose. Anger is aiming for win-win. So rage is when you just terrify someone in order to dominate their will and frighten them through the implied or explicit threats of escalation. It's when you seek to remove someone's free will and have them simply subjugate themselves to your will. So you model rage, you scream, you yell, you hit, you whatever, right? And you do that because that's win-lose. So the person who's raging wins. But with anger, it's actually aiming for win-win, and anger occurs when you realize that win-win is not possible. And then you're tempted to rage to assert your will over the other person, but that entangles you in a win-lose relationship, which is a bad place to be, and it's a bad thing to have in your life, a win-lose relationship. Try to avoid, almost at all costs, try to avoid getting entangled in win-lose relationships. So I was frustrated when the bank would not reciprocate the principle of, if you cost me time, you owe me money, right? I said, they made the mistake. Well, it's not in our policies. Well, you know, it's not how we do things. Well, blah, 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 right? And I said, but it is a principle of fairness, isn't it? Well, but it's not written down and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I don't have any particular respect for positive law doctrines, right? Just because it's not written down. I mean, there's a principle of morality, right? You don't sign a contract to return the shopping cart, right? You don't sign a contract to do that, but you do it. You don't sign a contract. Well, you know, I didn't sign a contract to pay for my meal when I walked down and walked in and sat down and ordered my meal, right? I didn't sign a contract to do that. So this letter of the law stuff is exploitation writ large, right? Well, you know, if some woman cheats, your girlfriend cheats on you, right? And then she says, well, we didn't sign a contract. There's nothing written. We didn't notarize anything. We didn't get a lawyer to countersign it that wasn't going to happen. I mean, maybe we had some conversations about it, but it wasn't formal. But okay, well, then just legalese is a way of avoiding the conscience. All that is not explicitly contracted is permissible. And of course, it's a lie, right? Because that's just do whatever you want and then complain it's the other person's fault for not being clear about their preferences or requirements. So anger is hierarchical in that the urge to not become angry is to say, I will be the lose in this win-lose relationship, but at least I'll maintain the pretense of a relationship. Right? This is sort of foundational to often dysfunctional parents and so on. I'm going to be the lose in the win-lose relationship, but at least this allows me to maintain the illusion of a relationship. So, anger is not something that a society can live without, because anger needs to be directional. And what that means is that the rulers don't want you to be angry at the rulers, but they always need you to get angry or to be able to get angry at the ruler's enemies. So the king doesn't want you to get angry at the king, but the king always wants you to get angry at the king's enemies, right? So, I mean, we saw this under COVID, right? People didn't, like the rulers, didn't want the population to get angry at the rulers for, you know, funding, creating, gain of function, restriction of rights, and imposition of medical treatments. Like, so the rulers don't want you to get angry at them, but the rulers desperately need you to get angry at the rulers' enemies, right? So the ruler does not want you to get angry at him for starting the war. Right? The ruler does not want you to get angry at him for starting the war. But the ruler desperately wants or needs you to become angry at your supposed enemies in the war. or at the people who are opposing the war, right? So the rulers, if the rulers make horrible mistakes and start a war, the rulers can't be having their population enraged at the rulers for screwing things up and starting a war. What they need the population to do is to get enraged at the enemy soldiers and domestic critics, right? Enemy soldiers and domestic critics. And of course, we saw this in the pandemic, right? Nobody was allowed to get angry at the people who had, in my view, of course, created and spread the virus, funded, created, and spread this gain of function stuff. You weren't allowed to get angry at them. And you weren't allowed to get angry at the rulers, but you were directly encouraged to get angry at the people who had questions about what was going on, the people who were hesitant to take the vaccines. Now, those people you could get angry at. So anger is both hierarchical and must be directional. And what I mean by that is, societies that weren't able to figure out or didn't evolve to allow anger to be hierarchical and directional probably didn't last very long in the, you know, hurly-burly, nature red and tooth and claw of our evolution, right? So the general purpose of anger is to appeal to the conscience of another person. The purpose of anger is to appeal to the conscience of another person. And anger is the sort of flip side of hurt, right? So if somebody does something mean or bad or whatever, then you are hurt. And hopefully the hurt is enough to have the other person treat you better, right? But if hurt isn't enough to be upset, isn't enough, then anger is a way of saying, you have not noticed or care about my hurt. So the last resort is anger, right? So let's say anger is when you realize it's not accidental, right? So let's say that you are in a business relationship. Let's take a sort of typical example that you read over and over again. Like, I think two guys from Badfinger killed themselves over this, if I remember rightly, but it happened to Elton John, happened to Billy Joel, happened to Sting, happened to Queen, of course, Death on Two Legs, where you're a musician and you get ripped off. I'm sure it happened to Led Zeppelin too, with the giant bags of money. So if someone doesn't pay you what they owe you, it could be negligence, it could be confusion, it could be misunderstanding, it could be like, it could be forgetfulness, like it could be any number of things, right? So if somebody owes you 10%, of something, and they don't pay you, then you're upset, right? You're hurt. You're hurt or you're upset. You don't necessarily immediately go to anger, because it could just be a misunderstanding or a difference of opinion, or you could be in the wrong, right? In that you didn't read the fine print correctly and you're not owed this money for whatever reason, right? So let's just say it doesn't necessarily mean hurt or sad, but you're upset, right? So when the bank missed or lost my deposit, I was annoyed. I was upset, right? I mean, not a huge deal. So if you think you're owed $1,000 in a business transaction and you don't get the $1,000, then you're bothered, right? It bothers you, and it should, right? Of course, right? It should bother you. So you say to the person, I'm bothered because I think you owe me $1,000. Now, if the person says, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You're absolutely right. It absolutely slipped my mind. Here's $1,000. Like, I remember once when I was a roommate, I was doing okay financially, but I had a check that bounced. I was just, I think the one time in my life I've bounced a check, right? Bounced a check is when you write a check. For the younger people, you write a check and there's not enough money in the account to cover it. And so it was like the third or fourth month, and I kited a check, I bounced a check. And so I showed the guy my bank book, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I wrote it on the wrong account. I'm so sorry. Here's the account with all the money. And I wrote him the check for my for my rent, and I threw in an extra $100 because he was charged a insufficient funds fee, and there was hassle and time. So I made a mistake that inconvenienced someone, so I wrote them the check, and I said, you want to get it certified, which is where the money's automatically deducted from your account already. So I made it up to him, right? Because that's fair, right? So on the other hand, it could be somebody who has no intention of paying you and is just going to try and last out as long as he can without paying you, and then you're in for a big, bad, ugly battle, right? So you think someone owes you $1,000, and it bothers you that you didn't get paid, right? So what do you do? Well, you say, you call the person up and you say this, and if they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you're absolutely right to call me, you know, this completely slipped my mind, it wasn't put into the right place, and whatever, right? And then they cut you a check, like, right away, and then you're like, okay, well, things happen, right? And maybe they throw in a little extra for your concern, but, you know, whatever, right? I mean, even if they don't, they're just, oh, sorry, right? So you're bothered, but not angry, right? You're bothered, like, hey, what's this money, right? And you call the person up, and if they're like, no, 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 right? Now, if they say, no, let's say you think you're owed 10% of 10 grand, and so you're owed $1,000, and then the person says, I don't think I owe you the 1,000, because, at least yet, because I'm only supposed to start paying you after 3 months. And if you look at the contract, and you bring up the contract, and maybe you missed something, that the payments don't start until after 3 months. Right? Okay, well, then you're like, oh, so sorry, I didn't mean to imply that you weren't paying me. I understand, and all of that, right? So it could be any number of things. It could be that you misread it. You get paid $100, you thought you were owed $1,000 because you're owed 10% of whatever transaction, and but you misread $1,000 as $10,000, they send you $100, and you're like, hey, man, where's all my money? It's supposed to be, you owe me $900. And they say, no, 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 because we're paying you 10%. It was $1,000. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I misread that as 10,000. My apologies, totally. Right? Because you generally, if you think someone has not paid you and you confront them on it, in a sense, I mean, and the harder you come across like, hey, where's my money kind of thing, right? You're ripping me off, right? This is why you go in with, you know, I this is what I think. I just want to double check it with you. And like, because you don't want to be accusing people, right? You want to make sure, you don't want to be innocent until proven guilty, right? So you're upset. And then you call the person up, and if the person does in fact owe you the money, but is evasive about it, yeah, I'll get it to you, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, okay, by when? Friday, man, yeah. So if they, you know, and whatever, maybe they get it by Friday, whatever, right? But they're already on the back foot, or they're already sus, right? They're already suspect because they didn't call you and say, listen, I'm supposed to pay you this money. I have had a cash flow issue. I will have it Friday, blah, 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 right? So what happens is you end up going from just being upset to being angry when you begin to realize it's not accidental, it's not unintentional, it's not confusion, it's not a mistake. They don't want to pay you, right? They owe you and they don't want to pay you. I think I've only had one business transaction in my life like this, where I just wasn't paid. And it's, you know, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It was still worth it. So should you not get angry, right? When someone doesn't pay you, maybe it's a mistake, maybe it's confusion, maybe it's a misunderstanding, maybe you, right, you have different perspectives or opinions, or maybe there's some fine print you don't remember. Or so you call up and you say, you know, I'm expecting this, I could be wrong, blah, 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 right? So you're upset, maybe you're a little hurt, a little frustrated, but open to the possibility that you're in the wrong. Now, if somebody just keeps promising to pay you and then doesn't pay you, then it's not, they've already acknowledged that they owe you the money, they tell you you'll have it Friday, they don't pay you, they keep putting you off, they don't answer their phone, they don't return emails, right, then you're being ripped off. So then you get angry. So anger is when something that is negative to your interest is being consciously done to you by somebody who has already admitted fault. Right? Somebody has already admitted fault, and they owe you the money, and they're not paying you, right? So anger is when you are in the presence of intentional harm. It's not an accident, right? That what's the old line? Please forgive me that I have shot. This is from King Lear, I think. Please forgive me for I have shot, that I have shot an arrow. This is Hamlet's Laertes. How could I not remember this? And I don't have the line exactly, but it's like, forgive me, brother, that I have shot an arrow over the house and hit my brother, right? Just accident, right? Accident. You know, when kids and adults play fight, every now and then there's a elbow to the eye or something like that, right? And it's an accident, right? So when someone harms your interests and you're irritated, annoyed, hurt, upset a little bit, right? Just because, you know, there seems to be something wrong. When you have confirmed that they know that they've done wrong and they will not make it right, then you go to anger. And anger prepares you for conflict. It may not be conflict early on, right? You may just have misunderstood, or there's a 3-month waiting period or whatever, right? You may have misread the number or missed the fine print. So you're not in conflict if your interests are being harmed as you perceive, right? You're not in a conflict situation right away. So let's say that somebody walks into you sort of shoulder to shoulder, right? Somebody walks into you. It could just be an accident. They're watching their phone. They're doing all of that. And it's just an accident. And they, yeah, you, hey, and you, oh, sorry, man. Sorry. Right? But then if they come back and glare at you and then hit you in the shoulder again, well, now you're in a combat situation, right? You're in a fight or flight situation, right? So it's not an accident, right? It's not an accident. I mean, I'm sure everyone remembers if you were around on 9/11, as I was at work when I was chief technical officer, and I was working on the code base, and a friend of mine I worked with came in and said a plane just hit the World Trade Center. I'm like, oh my God. And I remember that a plane had flown many decades prior, had flown into the Empire State Building. And I was like, oh, that's bad, right? So you think, oh gosh, that how could that happen? That's a very strange accident and so on, right? And then of course, you know, when fairly shortly after a second plane hit the World Trade Center, then you're like, okay, well, like then it's not an accident, right? It's not an accident. So anger is to get you ready for combat. And if someone has ripped you off, right? I mean, I remember many years ago putting a deposit down on a place that I could move into with a then girlfriend. And I was like, but if she, you know, she's not here, if she doesn't like it, can I get my deposit back? Oh yeah, no problem, right? And so anyway, I ended up not getting my deposit back. So I had to take the guy to court. So then you're in a combat situation, right? Or conflict, not necessarily a combat, conflict situation. And anger is needed for that, right? So the first pass of appealing to someone's conscience is to be upset. The second pass is to not so much appeal to their conscience and their empathy as to consequences, right? So if someone steps on your foot and it hurts you, you're like, ow, and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, my apology, like, then it's, he doesn't want to hurt you, and you say, ah. But if he keeps stepping on your foot, you're going to get angry. And you say, listen, man, if you step on my foot one more time, we're going to have a serious problem. So then the fact that he hurt you is not enough to get him to change his behavior. So when people don't have empathy, their behavior is restrained through consequences, right? So the reason we don't steal from a store is UPB, and how would you like it if you were trying to run a store and people kept stealing from you? And if you steal, the store's not going to be there and you won't have any access to these goods, or at least as easily. And so, you know, there's basic morality, then there's basic empathy. But then you stop stealing for fear of consequences. Like if morals and UPB and thou shalt not steal and empathy, if none of that works, then you will not steal because you'll be prosecuted and you'll have a record and you'll have inconvenience and you'll have a fine and whatever, right? So the first, being hurt is like, well, does it bother you that I'm hurt, right? And if you do something to hurt someone, then it should, I mean, if you care about the person and it's a moral relationship, then you should be troubled that you hurt someone and you should try to make it right because you have virtue, morals, compassion, empathy, all of that kind of good stuff, right? But if someone hurts you or upsets you and doesn't fix it, in other words, they don't have empathy, they are exploitive and manipulative and immoral and so on, Well, then it's like, okay, well, listen. So with the guy, it was like $900, right, for the deposit, right? So I said, well, I'd like to my money back, and he never got back to me. And then I said, listen, I mean, you did promise, right? I'm sure you're as good as your word. Like, you need to do the right thing here. Give me the money back, blah, blah, blah. And then he still avoided me, wouldn't give me the money back. And then I just called him. I left a message and I said, okay, well, I'll see you in small claims court, right? And then he tried to fight it in small claims court, but I had proof. And so he had to give me the money back and costs. So I was angry with him because he was avoiding me, right? And so anger, it's like, okay, then I'll get the money. I was hoping to get the money back from him. Like, oh, okay, I don't want to go to court. Here's your money. But we ended up having to go to court, and he ended up paying up a lot more than the $900. So that's just sometimes how things have to go. So anger is, well, you're not going to do the right thing based on virtue, conscience, empathy, care, concern, affection, a sense of pride in your own morality, and so on. So you're not going to do the right thing based on morality and empathy. So now, hopefully you'll do the right thing because of negative consequences. And the negative consequences have to be inflicted with empathy to the person's conscience, not to their will. Right. So if you're inflicting negative consequences on someone who's doing a bad thing, you're trying to, in a sense, jumpstart, or, you know, those electrical paddles, defibrillators, you're trying to jumpstart their conscience with negative consequences. And even if you can't jumpstart their conscience, if, like, for whatever reason, they don't have a conscience, really, then at least they can be a, quote, slightly better person through fear of consequences. So anger is when you try to reach someone's conscience or give them a better path through the infliction of negative consequences. And that's healthy, right? I mean, if you were abused by, I may make this case a million times, right? If you're abused by your parents, then I think you should be honest with them. If you're still in a relationship with them, you should be honest with them. And if you're angry at how they mistreated you, you should be angry. And that hopefully will help. It will help you become more real to them, so that they can have some chance of gaining and having and enacting empathy. And then what happens is, after anger, what happens after anger, right? So you inflict the negative consequences, right? Whatever they are, right? You inflict the negative consequences. Well, and it could be violence, right? I mean, if somebody is assaulting you and you're in genuine fear of grievous bodily injury or death, then you can use up to lethal force in many jurisdictions. I'm no lawyer, so consult with your local jurisdictions. But my understanding is, in many jurisdictions, if you are about to be killed by a criminal, you can use up to lethal force to protect yourself. That's, you shouldn't be beating me up. The fact that it hurts me obviously is not a concern for you. In fact, you're beating me up in order to hurt me, so that's not a concern for you. So the fact that you are beating me up, clearly my pain is not a concern for you. Clearly you don't have empathy because you've initiated the use of force against me. And so all I have is negative consequences. So anger is when you are stimulated to a fight or flight scenario, right? To a fight or flight. So anger doesn't mean not running away. Anger is when you realize that empathy and negotiation won't work. You're in a situation where empathy and negotiation won't work. If it's a situation of violence, in general, get out if you can. Like, just run away, get away. It's really not worth it. Violence is a very dangerous genie to uncork. And if you can avoid the situation, if you can get away, then get away. So it's anger kicks in when you realize negotiation isn't going to work. I mean, the guy wasn't going to give me the $900 back, so I had to move to a different venue or environment, right, where he didn't have a choice to not negotiate, right? He can choose not to negotiate with me, but he can't really choose not to negotiate with the court. So after anger, well, you win or you lose, right? You win or you lose. I took the guy to court. Either I was going to get my $900 back or I wasn't, right? So you win or you lose. Now, if you win, then your anger dissipates, right? I wasn't angry with the guy anymore. I thought it was kind of a waste of time, but no big deal. It was an interesting experience and so on, right? So I've barely thought about him in the 40 years since, right? No, 35 years since. So yeah, I barely thought about him. because the anger has done its purpose. I was harmed and I tried to negotiate and it didn't work. So I escalated, I got what I wanted, and then I moved on, right? So anger had served its purpose. You don't stay angry, right? When anger has served its purpose. So then what is the purpose of anger? Well, the purpose of anger is to put you in a state of conflict readiness. And again, conflict doesn't mean combat, right? And just conflict. It's what kicks in when negotiation no longer works. Like if you say to your parents, you did these harmful things to me, and they just gaslight and lie and manipulate and avoid and insult, right? Then clearly empathy isn't working. The fact that they hurt you doesn't seem to matter to them relative to them protecting their own ego. So then you're going to get angry because you're now in a situation of conflict, because trying to appeal to their empathy hasn't worked. Trying to appeal to their virtue, honor, dignity, like whatever, right? Hasn't worked. Affection, parental bonds, hasn't worked. So then you're in a situation of conflict. And that's what anger is for. And then anger is there to help you to resolve the conflict, right? Anger is there to help you to resolve the conflict. Now, the conflict could be leaving the situation. The conflict could be an escalation to get what you deserve. It could be any number of things, right? And then the anger is there to help you resolve the situation, right? I mean, if you have a girlfriend and she cheats on you, you're hurt, you're angry, and you have a conversation with her, and generally, I mean, if she cheats on you, generally the solution is to leave the relationship. I mean, if it's just a girlfriend, right? So you leave the relationship. So your anger at having been mistreated and lied to, well, that is solved by leaving the relationship. And then after the anger comes the self-criticism, and it should. So after the anger, right, so you've got hurt, upset. If that's not enough to get a person to behave better, you move to anger. And if anger will resolve the situation one way or the other. And then you have self-criticism. So the question then is, how did you end up in that situation to begin with, right? Right. So if you're a kid and or let's say you're a teenager and you're out, I mean, I would cross train bridges at night with friends, right? And that was really stupid and dangerous, right? So I was on a train bridge. The train was coming across. It was very dangerous and very bad. Could have gone, I was like 300 feet off the ground. It, you know, was very bad. And so I get a fear. I can't run. I get fight or flight, which heightens my perspective. So I do what's needed to survive that. And then I get the self-recrimination, which is how stupid could you be to put yourself in that situation? And I never did it again, right? So it's the self-criticism, right? If you've been ripped off in business, then you have the challenge of saying to yourself, okay, so let's say I move heaven and earth and we go to court or whatever, resolve the situation in some way or another. And then your question is, okay, well, how did I get in the situation to begin with, right? So that you can avoid having to get in that situation. And if you've been excessively criticized, then you lack the more rational course correction of self-criticism, right? You need that rational course correction of self-criticism. And a lot of people will just defend themselves, right? You know, the woman who cheats or the man who cheats might justify it and explain it away and so on, right? So in terms of don't get angry, well, that's not healthy. It's like saying don't have an immune system. Well, you're in the world. People are going to mistreat you. Like, it's going to happen. People are going to mistreat you. And the purpose, of course, is to act back against people who mistreat you, and then afterwards have the post-review, right? The, you know, review after, right? The review after, and say, well, what could I have done to have avoided this situation in the future, right? And that, you know, do we say that's anger with the self? Well, it depends, right? It depends. But being angry at the self can be very helpful in terms of shocking you out of dangerous or complacent behavior. So in terms of don't get angry, yeah. I mean, have people around you who treat you well and you won't get angry. I mean, honestly, I literally cannot remember the last time I was angry with my wife. I have no memory of, I mean, I'm sure I've been annoyed, as has she, over the 22, 23 years. But I honestly cannot remember. Because, you know, you just have people in your life who are are good and reasonable and care about you. And if there's a wrong done, it's accidental. And so, yeah, get angry for sure, and let anger get you to a place of safety and security by having you not repeat the behaviors that end up with you being harmed or hurt. So anyway, I hope that helps. And I really do appreciate your time, care, thoughts, and attention. freedomain.com/donate if you find these and other conversations to be helpful.